Entrepreneur Circle is an On Air Brands production and a proud member of the On Air Brands Network.
Hi, this is James Altucher. Thank you for listening to Eric Cabral's Entrepreneur Circle.
On this episode,
the definition of success for people changes throughout their lives. And this is one of the biggest things that I try to get across to people is that what was success to you previously doesn't have to be success to you tomorrow. It might not be. I believe that success is broken down into micro definitions. If you can define success for yourself every single day, then that big definition of success is always going to fall in alignment with where you're at. No matter what your job is, no matter what your relationship status is, no matter where you live, if every single day is a success and you're intentionally defining that every single day, the rest falls in place.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. My goal is to inspire you by chatting with entrepreneurs about their successes, their failures in life and in business. I am your most humbled host, Eric Cabral, a real estate investor, a creative, and I've been in the creative industry for over 20 years. Got my start in New York City as a junior art director, made my way to the top of the corporate ladder and realized there was the proverbial glass ceiling. So I hung up my corporate hat and started my own creative agency called On Air Brands, where we broadcast your brand and your message using podcasts and social media marketing, along with the help of my other company, PodMax, which hosts live and virtual events for top performing entrepreneurs to get them on podcasts and to learn from our keynote speakers and our massive network. So to learn more about that event, hit up podmax.co and sign up for the next event. They're happening each and every month. So as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with 2 to 3 of your friends to continue growing our community and to help others grow from the knowledge shared here and learned here on this podcast. And before we jump into the show, I'd like to share some of what our sponsors, partners, and good friends have to offer you. Hey there, entrepreneurs. Eric Cabral here, founder of On Air Brands and host of the Entrepreneur Circle and Capital Hacking. I wanted to share something truly unique with you that we've created called PodMax, which is an amazing opportunity to connect you with major podcasts to help you share your fascinating stories with their communities. This unique invitation-only event includes interviews with you on top-rated business podcasts all in one day. It also provides a unique networking opportunity with high-performance guests and thought leaders who are authors, coaches and consultants, investors, speakers, executives, you name it. These are the type of people that you need to be around. We also provide industry expert keynotes to hit our stage to share insights on podcasting, investing, marketing to help you take things to the next level. And the cool thing about PodMax is that it has a multimedia agency engine behind it with On Air Brands to provide social media promotions before and after the event to share your brand new shows with your network. So hit the apply now button at podmax.co and I hope to see you at the next PodMax event. Welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. I am your most humbled and happy host, as always. And today, like other days, I truly, truly have an amazing guest who I know and love dearly and will, and I'm super confident that you're going to know and love dearly as well by the end of this episode. Amber, how are you? Well, thank you for the show. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's been too long and much, much needed for us to get together one-on-one and have a conversation and get to know each other a little more than we already do. But yeah, I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. It's always nice when somebody does an introduction where they talk about how much they like you instead of, man, I got to talk to this person again. Let's make it sound good.
But yeah, Amber, you have been a part of my world. You have really just put so much love and energy and passion into not just everything that you do with us, but in everything that you do personally. I've been watching you from afar, up close and personal, and just admire, you know, your drive, your passion, your journey, and everything that you've become since we've known each other in the short years. And yeah, this is really exciting. So folks, Amber is an attorney. She's a success strategist. She's a speaker. She's a podcast host. She's a mindset motivator. She's a master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. And she is also, I have here what you told me, a recovering perfectionist and a serial accomplisher. Man, amazing stuff. Who writes your stuff?
I write my stuff. I write my stuff through a lifetime of excruciating experiences that end up shaping the way it comes out.
Yeah. It's funny. One of the deep dive conversations we had off camera, off mic, we were literally on the phone for like hours.
Yeah.
Just like old school 1990 something. And it was so cool because, you were like, I've been where I need to be, sitting in the parking lot. And like, we've just been talking for hours. And I'm like, oh shoot, I'm so sorry. Let's go back to your life. But that just goes to show, you know, what type of human you are and the type of relationships that we're building. And so cool.
Yeah. I remember, that's the day that I realized that people still use phones to talk and not just text and Facebook. But no, it was an amazing conversation. And, you know, that's what's so crazy amazing about the relationships that we get to build is, like, if you think back, when was the last time that you just had a conversation that was so amazing that you didn't want to go on and continue with your day? And like really embracing those conversations and just saying, no matter what was on my schedule, nothing is more important than this conversation and this moment right now and where this is going, and the rest will fall into place.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I am blessed. When you said that, I was like, wow, this happens to me every day. Like, I mean, I know it's not common. I came from a world where that was so rare. And I'm like, wow, I am blessed where this happens a lot because I get to talk to people like you. So I just wanted to give a shout out to you for all the things that you've been doing, but then also, you know, which we're going to get into here, but also the things that you've been recently doing with us, specifically becoming the co-host to the On Air Brands podcast. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you for trusting me with your audience. You know, there's Josh at one point asked me to co-host his Hidden Entrepreneur show. And I remember when he asked me to do that, I subbed in for the podcast Podmax episodes, I remember thinking, like, there is no greater sign of trust than somebody can give you than their audience. Right. Yeah. And then when you guys asked me to co-host the On Air Brand show, I thought the same thing. Like, we all build, you know, and for anybody who does podcast interviews, this is incredibly important. Somebody's sharing their space with you. They're sharing their audience with you. They're trusting you with the know, like, and trust factor that they've built up with their audience through time. And if you don't see that as a huge sign of the faith they have in you, then you absolutely should, because any podcast host who values their audience is the gatekeeper between the information that their audience gets. And so I'm always so thankful when people bring me on their show.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And thank you for recognizing that. And, you know, I never really put it to words the way you did, but yeah, it's truly what it is. You know, when we ask people to represent, you know, anything or everything we build, there's a high level of trust there, you know, and a relationship that was formed over time. You know, people know me to fall in love very quickly, but that love can fade quickly if if things aren't working out and results aren't being met. But here's the thing that I kind of teased up before the mics turned on that I wanted to test drive with you, because I think you're the perfect person. And maybe if this only happens once, it's great, because you know, you are the one that I want to ask this question, so that we could set the tone for the rest of the conversation here, and people are going to really get to know you as I do. Amber, can you, and are you willing to share a weakness with us?
Oh yeah. I love this question. I love this question so much. A weakness for me, and this is going to take a second, because you mentioned how long we've known each other, and the Amber that you knew a year ago and the Amber that you know today are completely different people. And so the weaknesses are completely different. And if you had asked me this question just 2 months ago, I would tell you that my weakness was knowing my worth and knowing my value. I think right now my weakness is protecting my energy And what I mean by that is, like, I see so much value in the people that I have surrounded myself with, and they all have all of these amazing things that I want to be a part of, and being able to step back and protect my energy and say, okay, I have to say no to these things, even though I really believe in what you're doing. There's so many times I think we tie money and an exchange of energy through monetary forms through support. And so we jump into all of these different things, and then we spread ourselves so thin when there are so many other ways that we can support people. So that's a weakness that I'm working through, is finding ways to support the people that I believe in without having to give up the limited time that I have by investing in their program, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's funny because you say specifically program, but I know you invest time, energy, you know, in your time, you know, everything with us. And it's through building and creating cool things, right? And I appreciate the stage of life that you're in business, because at some point, I mean, that's a huge sort of marker in life and business, where you're like, I am protecting my time. I'm protecting my energy now. I'm in the stage. 2021 for me was, this is the year of saying no.
Yeah.
Because every year prior, it was yes, 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 yes. So you get to the point where you're like, what have I done? I created a monster.
You know, two things on that. So I just recorded a podcast episode today because of this frame of mind that I'm in, which is what's so crazy that you asked me this question. And the podcast episode was called, You Have to Be Selfish Before You Can Be Selfless. Like, you have to be selfish with your time and your resources before you can choose who to give that time and resource to. Because if you're not selfish and you just say yes to everything around you, then you don't have anything to give to the people who need it. And you don't have anything to give to yourself. So, you know, knowing that, and what sparked this is, last year I had a friend of mine fly from Washington, D.C. to Vegas to visit me for one day because I had put my dog down and he wanted to give me a hug and tell me that I wasn't alone. Oh. And I remember thinking, that's the type of friend and person that I want to be. And you can't do that if you're not selfish. You can't do that if you haven't protected your time and your energy and your resources enough to where you can delegate them where they need to go. And so it's really, this describes perfectly the place where I am in my life in finally protecting that space.
Yeah.
And then on that point, like, something that always runs in my back mind, there is a TED Talk, and it talks about procrastinating on purpose. Have you seen this TED Talk?
Maybe. It sounds familiar. Yeah.
It's amazing. And I'm Rory Vaden. That's who did it. It was Rory Vaden.
Yeah.
And he has a moment in there where he talks about the time where he realized that you are always saying no to something. So when you say yes to something, you are saying no to an infinite amount of other things. So we go through our life saying, oh, I don't want to say no. I don't want to say no. But by saying yes, you're saying no to all of these other opportunities. And that, I heard that about a year ago. And I think it's been reframing the way I look at life and commitments and resources ever since I heard it. And now with the training that I've done and the place that I'm at in my life, I'm finally ready to implement it.
Wow. Deep stuff. Yeah. So true. And I never really thought of it that way. So I guess I didn't see Rory's thing, because I mean, that's, it reminds me of, you know, the butterfly flaps its wings, right? And it affects all things, you know, the butterfly effect. And you don't realize, I have people in my life that are very indecisive, and I say to them all the time, you realize that's a decision. Like, you not making decisions still triggers a ton of different events, a ton of things that happen. So that's the decision. So you may think you're being passive in this experience or whatever, you know, is in front of you. But it's just so deep on so many freaking levels. I did want to ask you about the label, the descriptor that you're giving yourself, and give us some some meaning and context and history behind recovering perfectionist and serial accomplisher.
Yeah. So for so much of my life, I was looking for that thing that was going to make all of the stuff I didn't want to deal with go away. I call it my compartmentalization box. So if you are a visual person out there, imagine this box and it's decorated and all the emotions and all the stuff that I didn't want to deal with went in that box. And in my head, and yes, this is going to sound ridiculous because it is, but in my head, there was a moment where if I just accomplished enough stuff, somebody was going to take that box and I was never going to have to deal with the stuff that was in it. And so it was like my success. I mean, I don't know that people, until you're really in that position, I don't know that you realize that accomplishments come with this dopamine high. Like you accomplish something and it feels good and you can get addicted to accomplishments. And so rather than actually understanding the purpose of that accomplishment, rather than building those accomplishments and being strategic about what you do and how you're doing it and building it to create the life that you always want, I was just doing stuff, random stuff, thinking this might be it. Oh, maybe this is it. And anybody who knows my story knows that I tied that idea to a six-figure income and a law degree. And so all these little accomplishments kept stacking up, but they never took away my compartmentalization box because they weren't the six-figure income and the law degree. And the moment that I became a recovering perfectionist and serial accomplisher was the moment that I hit that six-figure income. And like you operate under a certain idea. You think the world exists a certain way. And then when you accomplish that thing and it doesn't make your life better, you question everything before you. And all of a sudden you're like, what have I worked so hard for? Why did I do this? How did I get here? How do I get back the last 25, 30 years of my life?
Are you ready to invest in real estate but don't have the time or enough education to do it by yourself? Accountable Equity helps accredited investors who are looking for tax-advantaged investments. So anyone looking for a team of professionals who hold themselves accountable with theirs and your real estate investments, Accountable Equity is your boots-on-the-ground team. Their mission is to bring private offerings to their investors and their clients. With a team of committed and experienced investors themselves, Accountable Equity is always looking for partners to participate in alternative investments which extend beyond publicly traded equities like stocks. Accountable Equity makes alternative passive cash flow possible for more people than ever before in our economy. To find out more, visit AccountableEquity.com. That's AccountableEquity.com. Or look for them on LinkedIn or Facebook. That's AccountableEquity.com or Accountable Equity. That's Accountable Equity, your partner for true passive real estate investments.
There's so many thoughts flying through my head, but the main one that I can catch right now is there's a lot of ideas around what success is. And a lot of people have one ideal definition of it, and it's money. What does success mean to you? What makes you successful?
So success to me, the broad definition, obviously, is doing what I want, when I want, with who I want, and how I want, right? I have complete control over what I do with my life and how I spend it. And I get to make an impact, create experiences, and provide transformation for others while staying true to living life on my terms. That is true success to me. And you're right that the definition of success for people changes throughout their lives. And this is one of the biggest things that I try to get across to people is that what was success to you previously doesn't have to be success to you tomorrow. It might not be. Yet we hold on to that and we don't give ourselves permission to change because we worked so hard to get somewhere. And so then we just keep like ramming our head against this concrete wall because this is what was supposed to make us happy. And it ends up like, it never ends up well. So the idea of success, I have a planner that I've created. And on that planner, every single day, there's two questions that I answer. It's at the end of the day. And it was, today was a success because, and tomorrow will be a success if. I believe that success is broken down into micro definitions. If you can define success for yourself every single day, then that big definition of success is always going to fall in alignment with where you're at. No matter what your job is, no matter what your relationship status is, no matter where you live, if every single day is a success and you're intentionally defining that every single day, the rest falls into place.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's really celebrating wins, right? It's really all about gratitude and appreciation for the little things, the little successes.
Yeah. And even the failures, right? Mm-hmm. Like gratitude for the things that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I can list 5, 6, 7, 8 big things in my life that didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to. Mm. And if they had, I wouldn't have the life that I have now.
Right. I know. It's so amazing, right? Because when you think about all the things that you deemed as a failure or, you know, something you didn't want to happen in your life, and then you realize, wait a minute, I wouldn't be in this moment right now talking to you if that occurred or if this happened for me. And that is a term that you and I and people in our space love to use, right? Things happen not to us, but for us, right? And that's the blessing, right? Isn't that always the blessing and this, the mind shift?
It is the blessing. You know, I unintentionally created this morning routine for myself when I got my puppy because I had created an intentional morning routine.
Yes.
And it was gratitude and it was visualization and it was all of these amazing things from the Miracle Morning with Hal Elrod, who I met at PodMax. So imagine that. And then I got my puppy and things kind of got whirlwinded a little bit because puppies need exercise. So I would go in the morning to the dog park. And at one point in time, I thought, I'm sacrificing my morning routine for my dog. And then I realized that I had taken my morning routine from physical, like sitting down and journaling for all these 5 steps to doing them at the dog park. And the reason I was able to do that is because there is no better place to experience joy in the moment than when you're at a dog park. How many times, anybody who has dogs out there, how many times do you take your dog to the dog park or to a store, or to a park or on a walk, and they act like it is the first time that they have been to that place? They see their friends and nothing else matters. And like they get those puppy wiggles and like they're just so happy to be there. And that's where I really started to experience true gratitude. Like sitting down at the dog park, I watched the sunset from or the sunrise from there. I watched my dog be so grateful and in the moment. And I in turn try to make sure that I am as in the moment as possible while I'm there.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, I've never had that direct correlation to, you know, the experience that a puppy or a dog is having, how it's just pure joy, unconditional love, and, you know, sort of seeing the world through their eyes. That's amazing. I'm a dog person, so I appreciate that. Cats, you know, I appreciate them, but not as much.
I appreciate cats too.
I appreciate them, but yeah, they don't show
I'm sure that they have some good qualities. They're kind of like Josh, right? No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell him I said that.
He'll hear it at some point. But yeah, it's...
I love you, Josh.
It's, yeah, we love Josh. Josh Carey, if anyone's wondering who the heck we're talking about, my biz partner. I want to jump into a segment here where I think this is going to help us because I want to get into a super deep dive with you on all things Amber and the history of Amber and, you know, sort of what... The person that I know and love today, like, where did she come from? And I'm gonna get it from these questions, I'm hoping. So,
all right,
you ready, Rock?
I'm ready.
What was it like at the dinner table growing up?
We didn't eat traditional at the dinner table a lot of times. My grandma owned a restaurant. My dad cooked in that restaurant. My mom served in that restaurant when I was a kid. And so we were kind of all over the place. It was, well, we lived in a small town in Idaho, 1,200 people. So it was just home-cooked, American, amazing, just everything made from scratch. And all the feels. So I do remember times where my grandma would fly in fresh seafood and we would do like a family dinner in the basement of the restaurant. But very rarely did we sit at a table. we were definitely TV family eaters and, you know, very like I had a great childhood, but the dinner table just wasn't the center of it.
Yeah. Well, that was your dinner table experience, right? I mean, you got, I'm with you. You know, I was, both of my parents worked, you know, I was a latchkey kid. So it was like when it was rare when we were all together. I remember the younger, the earlier days, like, but as we got older, yeah, it was like, hey, survive, figure it out on your own. Mac and cheese.
Yeah. You know, this is just coming to me and it's so crazy that you asked this question. So my mom went through this stage after I had left the house and I was at college where like she wanted to eat dinner around the table and she had such a hard time getting my dad and the kids to get their head around this idea because we've never lived our life that way before. And she finally did. And they had dinner at the table and it was 2 days before my dad passed away.
Holy shit.
That they sat down and had that dinner. And so when I think of dinner tables, like if you, and this just goes back to what we were talking about in the moment, like you never know when that last moment's going to be.
So true.
You never know when, you know, it's not just a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night dinner at the table. Like it is time with your family, whether that's around a dinner table or a, you know, proverbial table, whatever that looks like for you. You just never know when that time's going to be.
Yeah.
The last time.
It's so true. And this is weird. And I got this from Gary V, and I always thought it was super morbid. But he was like, every day I think about, you know, dying. I'm like, what is he talking about? And he's like, yeah, every time I, you know, I walk around or anytime I'm, you know, with my family, I'm like, this could be my last day. I could die tomorrow. I didn't get it at the time. But then when I started to think about it, when I'm with my kids, especially or my family, and I look at them and I think, yeah, what if this is the last day? Like just absorb every second that's happening as if I'm going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
And man, that makes you grateful. AF.
Doesn't it though? And you know what also works? And this is painful. So I'm sorry for anybody listening, but I promise if you do this, it will change your life. I did an exercise once where somebody asked me to imagine my funeral and what people were saying about me and what they remembered me for and whether that was what I wanted to hear and be remembered for. And if you truly do that exercise and take it to heart, I guarantee you, you will wake up the next morning with some new priorities.
I freaking love that. I have heard that, but not obviously in a point in my life where I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm definitely going to do that now. Wow. So let's go through more of these quick hits here and get to know you a little more. If you were stranded on an island, and I've heard, you know, you don't know what's coming. Let's see. What's the one book or one album that you absolutely have to have with you?
I mean, am I stranded in a island in the 21st century? Can I just take my Spotify with me? Because I'm a like music nerd and picking one is just not okay. The book is easy-ish for me. And it's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. That is my most recommended book. It
wow.
is one of the books that completely changed my life. The album is harder because I'm a music nerd.
Yeah.
And there are so many songs that just light my soul up. I can't pick one.
What's the first one that comes to mind? What's the first? Right at the top.
Champion by Carrie Underwood. The theme song for my upcoming mastermind is Masterpiece by Jesse J. That's, I mean, and it also like, this is the amazing thing about music. And this is the amazing thing about even podcasts and what we're doing here is like, you create an experience that you remember because of that song, right? Mm-hmm. The song is just words and it's just music. But when you hear that song for the first time, you think of a memory or you're doing something when you hear that song for the first time and that creates a memory. Mm-hmm. And then every time you hear that song afterwards, you remember that memory. Yeah. And so that becomes like, this is why music is so different to so many different people. And this is why I'm so passionate about it. Actually, Todd and I were just talking about this on the On Air Brands podcast this morning, where you never read the same book twice. You never listen to the same song twice either, because you're never the same person when you hear it a second time. So I can't pick one.
I made you pick. You didn't realize.
You did. You did.
But yeah, we have control so much now with our music selection and when we listen to it versus when I was growing up, shit had to come on the radio for me to hear it. I didn't have control unless I had a tape recorder and I'm like, record it right now and I can listen whenever I want.
And then you had
to
rewind it, right?
Rewind it. Yeah.
And thank you for saying that, a tape recorder, yeah. Like to have to like actually, and hope that like, the tape wasn't twisted and you actually got like, or God forbid that it ends and you got to flip it over.
Or the
and,
DJ's
like,
talking over a part of it. You're like, shut up. But yeah.
I have like these most amazing memories of me sitting in my bedroom as a kid. And I loved to remember and memorize and understand lyrics. Mm. And so I would just sit there and I would write out the lyrics.
Wow. Yeah.
And this was like, if you guys remember tapes and CDs, like sometimes artists would print the lyrics and they would put them on the inserts, but they only did that for like their singles that were released. They didn't do it for every single song. Mm-hmm. And so I was in my room with my tape recorder, like pausing and rewinding and writing and then pausing and rewinding again. That's an interesting memory.
I remember that too. I do want to share this part and then we'll move on to the next is, I intentionally create those bookmarks, those embeds and imprints of time. So like if there's a summer of 2019, say, I'll create a playlist that I listen to whenever I'm in the car, whenever I'm working out. And then I force myself. I'm like, this is going to imprint on this period in my life. And it works. And then I'll go listen to that playlist of 2019. And I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, I'm feeling the feels of 2019.
It does.
Yeah.
It does work. And there's a scientific reason for that, as you will learn in NLP. But yeah, it does work. It's called an anchor. Mm. It's a tie to an emotional stimulus. And we do this we intentionally create an anchor in our NLP classes that we can fire off when we're going into meetings. So we'll anchor, confidence and excitement and all the things you want to hear when you're about to walk into like the biggest meeting of your life.
Yes.
And then you can fire, it's like an easy button where you instantly get this like this supercharged excitement as you walk into anything. It's amazing.
Are you going to be teaching this during your mastermind or sharing ideas on how to do this?
Some of it. Okay. So it's going to be NLP based. Mm-hmm. It won't be true NLP where they're learning the techniques. But one of the things that I'm playing around with, and don't hold me to this because I'm not sure I can make it happen, is that the anchor I just told you about, I want to gift that to everybody. So if I can get some, if I can get enough of my NLP friends who know how to create one of those to come volunteer their time for me, that I want that to be my parting gift for all of my mastermind attendees.
Amazing. Yeah. Marked on the calendar, on my calendar, I'll be there.
I'm so excited for you guys to come. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have some really awesome content segments.
While we're here and the audience is like, what the heck are they talking about? I might want to join. Give us some information about that.
Yeah, the Design Your Life Mastermind. So I have a couple of launches of it. The Mastermind itself. So first of all, let me back up and tell you what it is before I tell you when it launches, because I've never seen a program like this and I'm so excited to create it. It's a group coaching meets mastermind meets retreat. So we spend the first 12 weeks in group coaching talking about, with my knowledge of NLP, how your world is created and how you shift that to create the reality that you want to have so that you can accomplish your goals. Then we move into a mastermind segment for a couple of months where we take this new reality that you have and you get to now get support on goals. We have expert interviews that are going to be coming in to talk about what you need to move forward. And then we celebrate and continue to grow with a 3-day Vegas retreat all at the end of that. So it's segmented out. For the purposes of transformation, I didn't want to do just another event, right? I didn't want to create just another event where I got speakers and said, hey, these are the people that are coming, say something valuable. I wanted to create something where the speakers were intentionally picked based upon the goals of the people who are in the mastermind. And that when they go into that room, they are going to have a true transformational experience because the people that they need for that transformation are there in the room to help them make that happen. So I'm super stoked for it. The mastermind launches May 1st and June 1st. And then the retreat is September 23rd through the 25th.
Love it. We'll put all that in the show notes and, you know, we'll provide any links that you have, in order for people to get to where they need to go. Just for anyone who's wondering or maybe missed what Amber said, she's doing something unique that I've never heard of when for anyone who wonders, what the heck is a mastermind? Because we brought it up at the last PodMax. Unfortunately, you were not there. The first one you ever missed.
No.
But somebody asked in the room, they're like, what, you guys keep talking about a mastermind. What's a mastermind? Can you tell people what a mastermind means to you?
Yeah, a mastermind in its truest form is a way for you to connect with people who are like-minded with different goals. So you get these different life perspectives from people who have a similar desire to grow and improve their life. And so then you come in it, depending on the type of mastermind, your business, personal, whatever goals you're working on, and you think the world exists a certain way, and you think your problems exist a certain way, and you think your product solves a particular problem. And then you lay it out for this mastermind group, and you get all these perspectives that you didn't know existed, that make you look at not only the way you see the world, but the way that you're providing your products and services to other people. It's a way to, it's basically like this marketing on steroids, right? Like, how do we market our stuff? We market it by getting feedback from people. So what if you could get feedback from all areas of your life at once, from a bunch of different people? To me, that's a mastermind.
Yeah. I love that. I love everything and anything about masterminds. I'm in a couple of them. I'm becoming a mastermind junkie. And what I love most about it is, PodMax has a very, very hard, very close tie and feel to this. It's a safe place to write, to play, yes, share your ideas, be vulnerable, celebrate wins, right? Because if anyone who's ever transitioned from one life, for me, it was corporate America, into this new entrepreneurial business owner life, it's, I couldn't share wins with my friends for fear of them thinking I was bragging, that I thought I was better than them. So I was held back in my tribe, in my mastermind, and in PodMax. I share. And people are like, you go. What's next? Like, don't rest on your laurels, bro. What the hell are you doing next?
I have never met a community of people that are so supportive of other people's success than the entrepreneurial community. Mm. And coming from a place where you talk about competition, like, how do you set yourself out from others? I then entered the entrepreneurial space where, with what I know about the way the mind works, I don't believe competition exists, mm-hmm, because you are going to attract different people than your so-called competition, mm-hmm, and they're going to end up where they're at. The idea of competition comes from a scarcity mindset of thinking that there is not enough to go around for everyone. Mm-hmm. As soon as you realize that there is plenty of clients for you that are going to attract to your message, attract to your product, and that you are going to be able to make an impact on, competition disappears.
Yeah.
And most people in a mastermind feel that way. So it's just this incredible amount of support.
I know. It's so powerful.
I love masterminds. And, you know, really quickly too, on that thing, the way that our mind works is like our perception of the world is created through all of our life experiences. Mm-hmm. So when you take 12 people and you put them in a room, they all have different life experiences and they have different perceptions of the world. So something that you thought was impossible, for me, I didn't know podcasting. I didn't know this life was possible until I went to an event in Las Vegas and there were people around me that were doing it, right? So you think that your ceiling is here. You think you've created this reality for yourself. And then you meet people who are doing things that you thought were completely impossible, that just rattles your perception and your makeup of the world to where all of a sudden you have these new possibilities that you didn't know existed before. Like, it's life-changing.
Yeah. Life-changing. I'm so curious about your history and how you came up and got to this mindset and how you evolved into who you are today. Why not the safe path? Why not just stick to your, high level six figure, salary, and just, on the days off, and then the weekends, just eat and watch Netflix all day. Not that I say we don't do that now, but I know you're focusing. Mm-hmm. I know you're driven. I know you're connecting and putting things together and getting the right people in your corner. Like, what made you go on this path versus just staying like everyone else?
There's a couple of things that are coming to my mind. The first is the inside joke from me and my friends. We have a hashtag 2x4 that we will send to each other. And what that means is, I've always said that the universe gives you hints and gives you pushes. And sometimes it'll give you a tap upside the head. And then if you don't listen, you get hit with a 2x4. Could you tell my dad built houses for a living? So, and 2016 was my 2x4. It was my 6-figure income, my law degree, and my realization that like this wasn't going to automatically make me whole. And when that happened, I had a complete meltdown. And then I was rebuilding myself back up, started going to therapy. And I remember being in my therapist's office about 6 months in and telling her that I felt like such a failure. And she said, Amber, you have a 6-figure income. You have a law degree. You're the first person in your family to go to college. You support yourself. You move to a city all by yourself. What exactly does success mean to you?
Wow.
I said, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that question. I know how I felt in that moment. And I used to think that I could prevent others from feeling the same way. I've since learned that everybody has to go through this path on their own journey, right? Like I could tell people that, hey, money's not going to make you happy. And they're going to look at me and say, yeah, you're out of your freaking mind. Get out of my way, right? So now my goal is to make sure that when they hit that moment, that they have the tools, resources available to them to deal with it. The other side of it is, you know, Gary Vee talks a lot about DNA. And I don't think that complacency is in my DNA. I don't want kids. I've never wanted children. I've never wanted a traditional family. The legacy that I leave through the work I do is the legacy that I leave. And so, you know, this is my baby. This is what gets to live on past me. And I think more than anything on the world, all we want as human beings is to know that we'll be remembered at some point in time for something that we did. And each person's life that I touch through the work that I do ensures that that happens.
Since you've touched on it and you've hinted at it earlier, what was the conclusion? What was the words being said at your funeral? Do you remember some of it?
Before or after my transition?
I don't know if you wrote that before your transformation or if you did the exercise recently. But okay.
No, yeah. It was in the middle.
Okay.
And it was, I had become so impersonal. I had become so unemotional. I had put up walls that were so high that true connection was impossible. And people were there and they were supporting me out of obligation, not out of desire. And so much of that, you know, this exercise I did in 2017, and so much of that is because of my complete lack of self-worth at that time. That I wasn't capable of building relationships with people. I wasn't capable of truly showing up because what would happen, and I know there's somebody out there who's going to resonate with this. Somebody would say, you know, I'd meet them at an event. I'd meet them at a networking event. I had what I called attorney mode, where I would hide all my emotions. I would go into like, we got to get this done. Everything would seem okay on the surface. And inside I was just like waiting for a time that I could like crawl back in my house and hide. And so someone would say, hey, like, let's follow up. Let's grab coffee. And what would go through my head is they don't really want to grab coffee. That's just what you're told that you're supposed to say when you end a conversation. So I would never follow up with them. I would ask people, like I would want to go visit people. I'd want to go to their house. I'd want to go say hi to them. And I would call them and ask them if they wanted me there before I would go. Because in my mind, why would anybody want me there?
Wow.
It's an incredibly lonely place to be when I think back on it. And I'm incredibly thankful I was in that place, because that place led to where I am now. But it was 20 years of hiding so I didn't have to feel emotions, hiding so that, you know, I've lost a lot of people in my life. Funerals, you know, I know we're talking about them hypothetically, but funerals are no stranger to me. I started going to them at the age of 8 and really never stopped. And so at some point in time, I built up this belief that people don't stick around and that building connections is a waste of time because they're never going to last. They're either going to give up or they're going to disappear. And I lived my life that way for a long time. Thank God I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah. How did you get past it? What did you do?
The NLP training that I have completely changed everything about me. And I would say that the belief and knowledge that I am valuable and worthy despite my academic or professional accomplishments is only about 5 months old. And that 5 months has been so amazing. The connections I've been able to build in that 5 months has been completely different. Here's what NLP does. So for anybody who's heard me say this and is wondering what I'm talking about, our reality is built through all our experiences. You've heard me say that. But as far as your values are concerned and your belief is concerned, there's three really major points. And it's, you know, 0 to 7, you're imprinted. Everything is taken as fact around you. From about 8 to 13, you're modeled. And you're modeling the people around you, your parents, the people that are close to you. And then about 14 to 21, you're modeling your friends. This is why peer pressure pops up at this point in time. Those three areas, everything you experience in those time frame creates what you think is important, who you think you are. And unless you actively go in and change that belief, you will continue to operate under those beliefs your entire life until something happens to change it. NLP is reprogramming the programs that run in your mind that have created the reality that you had. And how do you reprogram those to create a new reality for yourself that supports the life that you want to live?
For anyone who's curious about that, is that an easy, is it a hard thing to accomplish? Does it take long? Can it be done in a Can they hack through it?
No, you cannot hack through it. Unfortunately. So when I went to my first NLP training, and this took about a 2-year process for me. When I went to my first NLP training, my trainer had a box of tissues at everybody's station. And she knew that we were immediately going to say, what the hell is this? So she's like, hey, allergies have been a problem here recently. So we just wanted to make sure that you were taken care of. And it wasn't until you get through and realize that, like, look, change, growth, becoming the person that you want to be, professionally or personally, it requires tough conversations. It requires you to have these honest, truthful conversations about who you really are and who you want to be and acknowledging your pitfalls. And, you know, this is why coaches are so important and masterminds are so important, because our family has unknowingly been enabling us our entire lives, because they love us so much that they don't want to see us hurt. So when we get to that point where we're about to face our demons, they comfort us. It's okay. I know this behavior was not something that's in line with who you want to be, but it's okay, because they want you to feel better. You need somebody who's invested in your success and not invested in your story, who loves you enough to tell you that it's not okay, that you get to move past that, and that you're loved and you're worthy and you're valuable despite those actions, but those actions are not okay. And those conversations require a specific type of people to be around, and they require a willingness to go really deep. And so is it easy? No. Is it hard? Only if you make it that way.
Good stuff. Always amazing, thought-provoking, emotional when you and I are together in any form or fashion, whether it's one-on-one or just in a room together. I always feel like you and I are connected, our hearts through a thread, you know, specifically at PodMax 10, PodMax X, whatever we call it, when Claude Silver was on stage. I'll never forget you and I. That was like, I'm feeling it now. It was,
the David Meltzer too. David Meltzer had me in
that was powerful
freaking
stuff.
Tears. Like, I don't think I have ever bawled on a Zoom call the way that I did there. And Can I just say really quickly that that is a testament to the environment that you guys create. The ability for complete vulnerability, it comes from the top. It doesn't come from people coming and saying, I'm going to be vulnerable. It comes from you guys creating this safe space and being so incredibly selective about the people that you allow into that space, because you know how special and transformational it is. And for anybody who has not been to a PodVax, I know that this is supposed to be about me, but that's not the point. For anybody who has not been to a PodVax, like, I jokingly say that I had like tics from missing the last one, but it's only partially a joke. Like, it is a part of my recharge every 6 weeks. Wow. So check out that if you have, just do it. Yeah, no, just do it.
I appreciate you so much. And I was not going to stop you if you wanted to talk about it. But yeah, thank you for being a part of it. You are part of the DNA and the culture and everything that happens there. You were truly missed and were referenced and talked about. So let's let the people who are not part of the PodMax community yet know how to reach you.
The easiest way to get a hold of me is actually through my Facebook community. So if you go to Facebook and search for Success Center, you can also go to morethancorporate.com and book a call to speak with me if you'd like.
Love that. You are the most true, you know, authentic, feely attorney I've ever met in my life. I mean, you, the term attorney is such an oxymoron compared to what you are. So yeah, I'm honored to know you and appreciative of everything you do. And please reach out to Amber, because she's such a wonderful human being. And I'm so happy that you're in my life. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. And really quickly, before we wrap up, it's really interesting that you said that, because when I started going down this path, the people that were surrounding me told me that it would ruin my legal career because nobody wanted to have an attorney that talked about the stuff that I talk about.
Yeah.
And it has done the exact opposite.
There you go. Yeah. Good stuff. Proof in the pudding. I'll talk to you soon. Love you, Amber.
Bye.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.